All right. Well, happy Friday to everyone. So I have the privilege of introducing a friend of mine, but our chapel speaker today, you guys, is one of the, actually, the best R&B drummer in the world. Okay, so let me just like clarify for a second. Not the best R&B drummer in the North State, not the best R&B drummer in California or in the United States, on planet Earth, okay? So I just want to clarify that. So Zorro has been drumming for over 40 years. He's a world-renowned drummer. He has toured and performed and recorded with Lenny Kravitz. Some of you might not know who, I think some of you guys know who that is. So Lenny Kravitz, his daughter Zoe Kravitz was in the newest Batman movie, but anyways, you don't get Zoe without Lenny. So Bobby Brown, he's recorded and toured with Bobby Brown. Bobby Brown was married to Whitney Houston, and Zorro actually introduced Whitney Houston to Bobby Brown, which is kind of crazy. So he has performed with Lisa Marie Presley, that's Elvis's daughter. He's been with the band Earth, Wind, and Fire with Lincoln Brewster. He's played with Stevie Wonder, Mick Jagger, Steven Tyler. Recently, he was on The Tonight Show, and Jimmy Fallon sang happy birthday to him. Yeah, there's him up there with with Jimmy Fallon in the top corner. Zorro is also an author. He's written four different books, but he one of his most popular books was a book about his mom and about his story, about how he went from the slums to basically becoming famous, an incredible story of his life. And now he travels around and speaks with his ministry called Zorro International Ministries. And he's a minister. He used to be an associate pastor in Sacramento. Zorro has a desire to share with all different types of people about how God has huge dreams and plans for their lives. And so my hope is that you'd be encouraged this morning with Zorro coming and sharing. And he might do a drum solo later in chapel. So before Zorro comes on up here, we're going to roll a video that will share a little bit more about him. So let's roll that, Logan.
When I was 7 years old, my mother knelt down beside me, tied her orange silk scarf around my neck, and whispered, "One day, my precious son, you will do something phantasmical with your life." With those words, my fate was sealed. Now, 50 years later, it's time I share my story. A story about the power of a mother's words to transform a child's future. I would go from surviving the rough streets of Compton to living among the elite in Beverly Hills. From dodging eviction notices to traveling around the globe with the world's wealthiest people. Though I would go on to become a world-renowned drummer, my story is really not about drumming. It's about dreaming and overcoming insurmountable obstacles to make those dreams come true. It's a love story between a mother and a son, an immigrant woman who came from Mexico to the United States to make a better life for her children. A single mother who raised seven children alone in pursuit of the American dream. It's a story about a family's unbreakable bond and their struggle to survive fatherlessness, economic hardship, and racism. It's a story about a quirky, hilarious, and tenacious kid who refuses to give up on his dream. Part sinner, part saint, but all heart in his epic quest for significance. And it's a story about the power of friendship and how those who believe in us help to shape the course of our lives. Now more than ever, we need stories of hope and triumph. Stories that bring out the best in humanity and remind us what matters most. Universal stories of love, perseverance, and the power of dreaming big. A story that kneels down beside you and whispers in your ear, "One day, brave soul, you will do something phantasmical with your life." Right. How we doing this morning? Come on, Simpson University, how we doing? This is like an assembly. You don't have to be in class. You get to go do something fun. This is so great to be here. I got up this morning at 5 a.m. I live in the Sacramento area now, so I left the house at 5:30. So it was a nice three-hour drive to get here, but I'm very excited to be here. So that's just a little snippet, a snapshot of my story. In fact, I worked on it for 15 years. I wrote a memoir. It came out last year. It just won an international book award. It was voted most inspirational nonfiction book at the International Latino Book Awards. Anyway, so the book was something that was really dear to my heart because I wanted to share my story of overcoming and what God did in my life. So it's called Maria's Scarf. But anyway, we're going to give some out today here at the end of the message here. I just want to tell all of you right now that no matter who you are, no matter what you come from, no matter what your situation is, God has a plan for your life. Before time began, God already created you. And everyone in this room, regardless of age or regardless of background, you were created in the image of God, and you are already made with incredible abilities and gifts and talents that are inside of you. Whether you recognize them or not is not important at the moment, but you were born with them. So the way that God works is everything that he gives humanity, he gives you in the form of a seed of potential. He never gives you anything fully grown. So he gives you a seed of potential, but then it is your job to develop that seed. It is your job to water that seed. Now, I had this dream as a kid that I wanted to be a drummer, but I had every obstacle against me. First of all, as you heard, my mother immigrated here from Mexico City. She raised 7 children alone. My father abandoned me when I was an infant. Ironically, the only thing he left me by accident, was a set of his bongos. So it was almost like a prophetic thing. It was like there's a picture of me in my stroller at about 18 months, and the only thing beneath it is a set of bongos. So sometimes God has a sense of humor. So I know what it feels like. Everybody here comes from a different background. Some of you are fortunate, and you have 2 parents that are awesome and that love you. Some of you have a single parent. Some of you are raised by your grandparents. Life is hard for everybody. I have traveled with the most famous people in the world, the wealthiest people in the world. I've been with the up-and-outers, and I've been with the down-and-outers. I've been to the jungles of Ghana, Africa, the poorest of the poor. I grew up in Compton, the ghettos of California. So I have seen everything that life has to offer. And it's been an incredible journey because it's given me perspective to understand what really matters and what really means something. What means something is that you guys were created for a purpose. And our purpose on this planet is actually to know and to walk with God. That is your purpose. People who miss that miss the whole point of life. You can be rich and famous and successful and still be totally empty, because I know plenty of people like that. You will never find meaning in life until you find your identity in Christ and walking with God. Because God created you to know you. He created you to have fellowship with you, to have friendship with you. And it's the same reason I'm a father. I have 2 children about your age, maybe a little older. I have a 25-year-old son and I have a 23-year-old daughter. Why did my wife and I decide to have kids? We decided to have kids so we could have fellowship with our children. Why did God create you? To have fellowship with you. Whether your parents wanted you or not, God wanted you. You're here. An important thing is to the dreams that God gives us are not just dreams for ourselves, although I've enjoyed everything I've done. Everything that I've done in my life as a drummer, as a speaker, as a teacher, as a writer, these were all dreams that were in my heart from childhood. You have dreams too, but sometimes you will talk yourself out of those dreams, or the people that you love will talk you out of them. Sometimes well-intentioned and well-meaning people, they don't see your potential, and they think that it's too hard for you to do what you want to do, and they'll talk you out of it. You have to be very careful not to let anybody talk you out of your dream. Mine was to play drums, but everything got in the way of that. When we moved from Compton, California, where we moved about 40 times before I was in the fourth grade, Many times we moved our entire apartment, our entire contents of our apartment in a Radio Red Flyer wagon. And we put our mattress and box spring, and we'd move down the street because we got evicted, and we'd move to another place 2 miles away. So I grew up with an extreme hardship and extreme poverty. Then it got worse. Then we moved to rural Oregon, Grants Pass, Oregon, 713 miles north of L.A. It's like a mountain town. And Grants Pass was beautiful, mountains, trees, rivers, lakes. But there, life got even tougher. And because my mother was Mexican, this is in the 70s, a lot of people there weren't excited about a Mexican family that lived there. So I experienced a lot of racism, but I also experienced a lot of love of God through the church and different people who loved on me. The same thing is going to happen in your life. You're going to find people that love you and that want to encourage you and help you. And you're going to find people that don't like you for no reason at all. And you're going to have to learn to be resilient. But in Oregon, we end up living in our car. We end up living in a 1962 Chevy Nova. And my mother, for one Christmas, she bought me a drum set. She saved up every penny. It was $9.99. It was a Mickey Mouse drum set, like from the Sears catalog, Mickey on the cover of the bass drum, but it was a toy. It was all paper heads, and I destroyed it by Christmas morning because it was not really a real drum set, but it connected me with my identity. When I hit those sticks, I didn't know what I was doing, but something inside of me came alive. Now, the gift and talent that you all possess, it's already in you. You don't get to choose your gift and talent. You just get to discover it. You get to discover, but you never get to choose it, because if we could choose it, we would all just say, I'm going to be a singer. I'm going to be an architect. We don't choose them. God chooses them for us. We get the joy and the privilege of uncovering it and finding it. But as soon as I hit those drums, and I grew up with a lot of soul music in Compton, and mariachi music and jazz music and Frank Sinatra and big band, I love music. I got to go to a concert when I was 7 years old. It was Diana Ross and the Supremes and the Temptations. And I remember coming home from the concert, and I built a ghetto drum set. And it was Folgers coffee cans, almond roca cans, oatmeal boxes, Tupperware, spoons, and I just was jamming on the street in my wagon. So something in me was beckoning me to be a musician. So that something is also in you. It's the thing that, like, all you have to do is be by that talent or see somebody do it, and something in you kind of goes, God, I want to do that. It's just a magnetic pull. Those that become writers, they were drawn to books. They were drawn to writing. So there's something inside of you that's already there, and it's percolating. And when you see somebody else exercise that gift, you get very excited about that idea. I'm here to encourage you, to tell you that all things are possible to those who believe. And faith in God is a life of action. Everything that I have accomplished in my life has been a simple act of faith. You saw the picture of me when I was 7 years old wearing my mother's scarf because I wanted to be a rock star at seven. I already felt there was something different about me, and I wanted to express that. So, but the one thing I've guarded in this whole walk and a journey with life, and it's the one thing I want to teach you today, is that God gives us all childlike faith. I always find it funny when people who have no relationship with Jesus or God, and they'll always say to people like me, they go, well, I don't know how you guys live by faith or walk in faith. I don't understand that. I'm like, what part don't you understand? So just to believe in something you don't see or whatever. I'm like, you cannot exist for 5 seconds in this world without faith. Put it to you this way. Every single day you are living by faith, whether you know it or not. When you go to the lunchroom and eat lunch, by faith you're believing that nobody poisoned the food. When you get on an airplane, by faith you believe it's going to take off and get you to your destination. You have no idea if it will. By faith you walk across the street and hope the people on the other side are going to obey the sign that says the stoplight, right? You get into a friendship by faith. You believe your friends are going to be your friends. You get married based on faith. You cannot exist without faith. Even to be an atheist requires an incredible amount of faith, because you're just putting your faith in something else. We exist only because we have faith. But the Bible talks about childlike faith. And I had childlike faith when I was a child, but I learned that that was the most valuable commodity in this world. It wasn't money. It wasn't wealth. It wasn't fame. It wasn't power. It's that ability to believe. God gives us a special ability inside. He gives mankind the ability to dream up something. Like whatever, like Elon Musk dreamed up the whatever he's doing, the space stuff or whatever. He gives you the idea to dream up something. And then he gives you the wherewithal that if you have faith and you put that thing into action, you can make that very thing that you dreamt of exist when it never existed before. So the power of belief is the most important thing we have. And the most important thing you have is you have that power to believe in yourself, whether nobody in the world believes in you. And I mean, I don't care if no one believes in you and no one encourages you and no one supports you, you have the power in yourself to be that person. And many of the most successful people I've met and been around are people who really didn't have very many cheerleaders or any at all. They learned to be their own cheerleader. The Bible says that King David learned to encourage himself when he was being, when his life was being threatened by Saul. He learned to encourage himself in the Lord. So I have learned to encourage myself in the Lord. I have learned when people have doubted me and didn't think I could do any of the things that I did, I went inwardly to my relationship with Jesus. I gave my heart to the Lord when I was about 12 years old at a summer church camp, and I met Jesus for real. Like, I had an encounter with him, and I've been having encounters with him ever since. And when you develop this close, real relationship with God, God is not interested in religion. Religion is the external appearance that you look like, you go to church and you just, it's religion is just outward. Relationship is inward. God created you to have a relationship with you and him in your heart. So I'm talking to God all the time like I'm talking to you. I share my frustrations. I share my fears. I share my joys and victories. I share my pains. God already knows it all anyway. All he's looking for are people to be honest and transparent. So if you're struggling with something in your identity, you will always be struggling with your identity until you realize that you are a son or daughter of the living God. When you realize the weight of that, it's kind of like one of the richest guys in the world is Bill Gates. I used to travel with Paul Allen. Paul Allen was the co-founder of Microsoft. Microsoft was started by Paul Allen and Bill Gates. And when I was with Paul, he was the fourth richest guy on planet Earth. That means he was richer than 6 billion other people. Only three people had more money than him. So, but it's kind of like this. Imagine you're the son or daughter of Bill Gates or Elon Musk, but you've been lost. He went on a safari when you were little, you were 2 years old, and they lost track of you. And then you get raised in the jungle, and then one day you're 21 and somebody says, oh, did you know that your father's Bill Gates or Elon Musk? And you didn't know. The whole time you acted as if you were a pauper, as if you were a peasant, but you didn't realize you're a son or daughter of the richest person in the world. Would that change your ability to do things? Would that change how you believe in yourself? Would that change how you carried yourself if you knew? Could, believe me, I've been around these people's sons and daughters, and they act like all that. They go, they walk in a room and they know I'm so-and-so's son. I played with Elvis's daughter. I played with John Lennon's son. People that are connected to people in high positions and power, they walk around with a lot of confidence and belief in who they are. That's each one of us. When you realize that your Heavenly Father, God, is the creator of everything, has the power of the universe in his hands, and you realize that is my Heavenly Father. When you realize that and you go, I'm his son, I'm his daughter, then you begin to believe in yourself, because friends will come and go and people are fickle. You'll be best friends with somebody and something stupid will happen and then they start talking bad about you and they don't believe in you anymore, right? It's just the way of the world. And having been abandoned by my own father, it took me many years to understand my identity and to understand that even though I had no worth to him, which sometimes when we go through that, it causes us to doubt ourselves. Or when people reject you, it causes you to doubt yourself. But it's not a reflection on you. And that's what you got to realize. You got to go, I am a valuable person. I am the most valuable thing in God's sight. And when you make your identity in him, it supersedes all the earthly stuff. And I'll explain what I mean. For instance, if I made my identity only to be a world-renowned drummer or like a world-renowned athlete, you know, because athletes, they can't do what they do as long as a musician can do what they do. You can't play in the Super Bowl at 70 unless you want to be in a wheelchair after the first play. You know what I mean? Like, so certain things time out, right? So the bottom line is that if I made my identity just music, what happens if I don't have a big gig? Am I a loser now? Am I not as important? You can't make your identity what you do, because what you do will always change throughout your life. And what you do at different points in your life will have different value to different people. Sometimes people do incredible work and it never gets valued at all, but God sees it all. And sometimes you do work, you become a famous athlete, and then 10 years later, people forgot that you won the bronze medal or the silver medal or the gold medal. And you go, man, like I was somebody, now I'm nobody. So you can't make your identity what you do. You got to make your identity who you are and who you belong to. And if you make your identity, God loves me whether I have gold records or whether I have nothing, right? And he loves me. You know, it's like, it's easier for me to understand because I'm a father. I love my children whether they're doing well in school or whether they're not. It's better if they do well in school for themselves or whatever, but I'm not going to love them less. I truly believe that the mothers and fathers of criminals or even killers or serial killers, I believe they go to their graves still loving their children, even though they weren't happy that that's how their kid turned out, right? So the Bible says if we, mankind, if we who are evil know how to do good for our children, how much more does God know how to do good who knows no evil? In other words, I have learned in my walk with God that God is good, and that even when I go through the hard times, which you will go through, they have always shaped me, and I have always come out on the other end stronger, better, wiser, more full of grace, more full of wisdom, more full of knowledge, more full of perspective. The people that I've worked and traveled with who did not know Jesus and did not walk with God were always empty people. And they will always be empty because God created each human being with an empty place in your soul that cannot be filled with anything in the world. There's not enough sex, drugs, rock and roll, power, fame to fill the void. And so that's what mankind does. They go everywhere and they look for all these things. Drugs, that's the answer. Sex, that's the answer. Food, that's the answer. None of it will ever fulfill that emptiness. None. There's an empty place that God reserved for his spirit and his spirit alone. And as long as you keep looking to those other places, you'll be like all the people. Look how many people in Hollywood commit suicide. People who have everything that you think, if you had that, you'd be happy. When I was 18 years old, I ended up living in Beverly Hills, and I started being around super wealthy people. And very early on, I realized, wow, some of these people are like miserable. And I got to see their lives up close, and I thought, see, everybody wants to be them, but now I'm with them, and they're totally empty, and they're totally looking. I used to hung out with all these kids that were sons and daughters of gazillionaires, and they were what you call trust fund babies. They are born, and they're worth millions or billions already. And so I would meet them at 18 and then in their 20s and in their 30s and in their 40s, and they would say to me, they would say, gosh, I envy you, Zorro. I envy you. I'm like, why do you envy me? Because you have purpose. I have nothing. I go from party to party in the south of France and all these fabulous places, and I do the whole circuit of the rich people parties around the world, and I just, because they have no purpose. When you do not have a relationship with Christ, you will not have a purpose. You may still have your talent. God will never take your talent away. You may still have fame and you may still have riches, but you will not have a purpose if you don't know God. And here's the deal. There's only two ways you guys are going to live your life. That's everybody in here, no matter what age. Only two ways you're going to live your life. You're either going to live a life of self, which most of the world does, or you're going to live a life of service. If you live a life of self, your viewpoint is that you see the whole world as an opportunity of people to be servants to you. Everything is about people serving you, sucking up to you. That's why a lot of people chase after celebrity and fame, because they know if I get that, people will suck up to me, and I'll get the best table, and I'll get the best flight, and I'll get and it's all about self. The problem with self is you will always self-destruct. because you were not created to serve yourself. You were every creature that God has made, including angels, every creature that God has made, man and angels, finds their identity in serving. That's where you find your identity, in serving. When you walk with God, it doesn't change the fact that God gave me a writing gift, a speaking gift, a teaching gift, and a drumming gift. Those gifts remain the same. What changes is my perspective of the use of those gifts. I'm not looking for those gifts themselves to fulfill me, but the purpose of why I have those gifts. When I write a book, and I've written several books, when I write a book, it gives me great gratification to know that the words I'm writing are touching people's lives and empowering them, because I view all of my life and the decisions I make in view of eternity. I don't view it in the temporal, because we live here a short amount of time and then we die, all of us. Nobody gets out of here alive, as far as I know. My nice little alarm clock lets me know it's 11 o'clock, which is beautiful. Perfect. It's keeping me right on point. So you're either going to live a life of self or a life of service. If you live a life of service, those are the people who view, I view everything that God gave me as a gift. People call me this, that. They say, oh, you know, you're a great writer or drummer or whatever. Fine. But I try to have a humble viewpoint from that, because I gave myself nothing. I didn't give myself any talent whatsoever. I recognized, it's like I was a kid walking down the street and I found a pot of gold and I took it and then I put it in the bank. Here's the thing. God gave you gifts and talents. Your job is to multiply them. Go read and study the parable of the talents, because at the end of your life, God is going to ask each one of you in here, I don't care what your age is, what your background is, what your excuse is. He's going to say, what did you do with the gifts and talents and the life that I gave you? And I can't get up there and go, hey, you know, I became one of the world's greatest drummers and I did this and I did that. He's going to sit down. That was all for free. What did you do with it? In other words, whose life benefited from my gifts? How did I make the world better? If you make it all about you, I've been around famous drummers and famous model, and when people are arrogant, they're self-centered, and it never helps anybody but them. But when people are humble, people who serve God and see their gift and talents as an act of gratitude and a service to people, they enable people to go with them. They take people with them. Pride is like a street sign that says, danger, rocks falling. Humility is like a street sign that says, safe crossing here. When you realize that all you have comes from God, then you're humble. But if you think you're awesome just because you were awesome, you're wrong, because God gave it to you. And he will ask you to give an account of your life. If you do not multiply what he gave you, you are called a wicked servant and you are sent away. Right? So I always felt it was my responsibility to take the little seed that he gave me and turn it into more for the purpose of serving people and making a difference. And so when people have an encounter with me, it would be a positive encounter. It would be an encounter with the Holy Spirit through me. So that's the only decision you got to make. Are you going to serve yourself or are you going to serve God? The only two ways to live. If you serve God, you will find the meaning of life. You will find purpose in life that evades most of this world, because most of them are thinking the answer is in the thing itself, the fame itself, the money, the position, the gold medal. But once you get the gold medal, then 4 years later, you're kind of bored. Like, it's got to be bigger than that. You have to see your life has a purpose. And the enemy is working double time in our world today around young people and through young people into getting them to just live this hopeless life and think that there's no purpose for their life, or creates a whole atmosphere of laziness and apathy. Like, well, a lot of times we look at people that are really incredible at what they do, that are really have reached a high level of achievement, and we think they're more talented than us. But they're not more talented than us. Many of them have just worked harder. We have unlimited potential to soar in a specific area that God gave you. All of you have been to grade school and elementary school and junior high and high school. There are certain subjects that come easier to you than others. There are certain things that you go, oh, man, math was easy for me. Like music was easy for me. Other things weren't. So that can sometimes be a sign of what is your gifting? What comes more natural to you than other people? I'm a writer. Guess what? There are millions of writers, but no one writes exactly the way I do. There's a bazillion drummers, lots of great drummers. but no one drums exactly the way that I do. So don't discount your gift going, oh, well, you know, I just have this, but everybody has that. No, here's the deal. Here's your deal. Before you were born, God created you with a secret melody in your heart, a secret melody that only you can sing. It's a melody that he created for you. It's like the melody he gave me. It's a certain way that I talk, a certain way that I write, a certain way that I speak, a certain way that I drum. And that's my melody. And my melody is going to touch different people different than another person's melody. Just like you like favorite singers, but other people hate that same singer, right? We all appeal to different people with our gift. How many of you had pizza in your life? How many of you had a hamburger? How many of you know, well, these 10 places are horrible, this one's really good, right? And the other people go, no, that's my favorite, right? This is why he creates different people with different personalities. Different chefs cook differently. Never discount your song. Never count yourself out of the race. I've overcome so many obstacles. My memoir that you know about, that I told you about, went on to win all these awards. It's been endorsed by some of the biggest people in the world. But what people wouldn't know is that that book was rejected over 100 times in 15 years that I was trying to pitch it to publishers. Over 100 rejections. But God showed me that vision many, many years ago. And here's the thing you got to decide. Am I going to believe God? Am I going to believe the visions and dreams he gave me? Or am I going to believe the circumstances? And every single thing I've been able to accomplish in any area of my life, from being a father to a husband to a drummer and speaker, teacher and writer, has all been met with opposition. Nothing ever came easy, and nothing ever came for free. The enemy wants to discourage you, because if you don't become who you're supposed to become, lots of other people's lives won't be affected. If I didn't get to become the drummer I was, I wouldn't be speaking here right now. I wouldn't have a chance to speak into your life and possibly help change your life for the rest of your life, right? Because I would have given up. And so don't give up. You have to always go back and rework the thing. Whatever the vision or whatever the dream is, you're going to have to retool, recalibrate, reassess, rewrite. Do it over. Everybody who's invented anything, Thomas Edison would tell you that if he was alive. 10,000 times he experimented before he was able to find something that made the light bulb stay alive, or not alive, but operational for like more than a couple of seconds. And then he finally, after 10,000 failed experiments, he found some substance that made the light bulb work, right? Changed all of our lives, right? He's responsible for us listening to music. He's responsible for moving video, which is movies. But what if that guy didn't do that? He's enriched all of our lives. Whatever you carry inside of you will enrich many other lives. So the dreams that God gives you are not just dreams for yourself. They're dreams that will change the world. And it doesn't matter if your world is small or your world is big. One day you're going to be judged on the people that you touched or inspired. Right? Because everybody here influences somebody. Everybody's life here impacts somebody. Never think of yourself as small, and don't think that you're getting off the hook. God will judge you one day. He's going to ask you, what did you squander the life I gave you? Did you squander this opportunity that I gave you at Simpson University? Did you just come in here and go, I'm just going to ride through as easy as I can? Don't make excuses. Many of you come from really hard circumstances, and I'm sorry for that. It's not your fault, whatever happened to you through life. But guess what? God made us strong. God made us with the ability to overcome anything and everything. So don't make excuses. Just go, I am going to take what little I understand and know of what I shared today, and I'm going to apply it. You've got to dream big, but then you've got to get after the dream. There's a big difference between a dream and a delusion. Big difference between a dream and a delusion. A dream is always going to be centered in something that God gave you an ability to do. It's something that it's in your nature to accomplish. A delusion are people who watch American Idol and want to be a singer, but they have no singing talent whatsoever. We live in a delusional world where people want to be something they're not wired to be. I remember when I met Shaquille O'Neal, you know, it's the biggest human being I've ever met. I'm 6 foot, and standing next to him, I look like a midget. Like, I just look like he's so big. And it was like, Shaq, man. I said, like, what would you have done if you didn't make it as a basketball player? Because everything he has is big. His shoes are size 23. You're not going to just find those at the mall. Like, his car has to be custom made. His bed has to, I said, would you ever have considered being a horse jockey? And he cracked up. Because, you know, you can't be bigger than the horse. to be a horse jockey. So this is people in this world today. They want to be something that's totally out of their realm of possibility, right? So remember, God wants you to dream big, but your dream has to be based in something that's innately inside of you to do, right? Not like, you know, I want to be a horse. Well, you're not going to be a horse. You're a person, right? Don't be delusional. Dream within the realm of what's possible. Anyway, we're now at the point where I was going to open it up for a few questions and answers. It's 11. I'm gonna perform a little medley for you. So I'm gonna play for you a little medley of some of the hits of the songs that I worked with, of the groups that I played with, and then I'll take a few questions if you guys want to do that. How's that sound? Hey, well, I thank you guys because like 95% of you, I've been looking around. 95% of you have been listening and paying attention and looking. And if you don't, it's kind of your loss, you know, because I have found that there are very few encouragers in this world. You have a few here at the school and maybe in your church life. But anytime you get a chance to be encouraged, take it, because it doesn't come all that often. The world is a very discouraging place. But my joy in life is to be an encouragement, to be a light. Look, if all the things happen to me can happen to me, they can happen to anyone in this room. I am no better, no smarter, no more talented than any single person in this room. But what I am is I kept my childlike faith. I refused to let the world take that away from me. And I trusted God in the darkest times of my life, during all the pain, during all the rejection, during all of that. I just said, Lord, you have a way. And you'll make a way in your right timing. Sometimes you got to wait on the Lord's timing. You know, some dreams take a minute, some dreams take a year, some 10, some take a lifetime. But I refuse to give up on any of my dreams because I am the steward in charge of what God placed me in charge of. And if it falls through, it's because I gave up. Remember, failure is going to happen. You know, failure is going to happen, and it's not a mistake. What makes it fatal is quitting. We're all going to fail, but when you quit, that's when it becomes fatal. So don't quit. You'll feel like quitting, and for a minute, you might have a sob pity party, but then wake up again and go, I got to start again. I got to get after it. There is so much knowledge out there to succeed at anything you want to do in life that there's no excuse for not succeeding. Everything is at your fingertips now. When I was a kid, there was no internet. There was no drum videos. There wasn't anything. And I learned. So you guys, you have the whole world at your fingertips to learn anything you want to learn and succeed at it. But then remember, stay humble, stay on point, and serve God, and realize this is all for the purpose of serving other people, because that's where you're going to find your joy. That's where I've always found my joy. It's never been in the money. It's never been in the accolades. It's been in the actual doing of the gift, knowing that I'm inspiring people, either musically, verbally, or through words.